Well, this morning, we are continuing our Lenten sermon series, The Call, with one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. Now, over the past few weeks, we've explored stories of God calling people to service and moments of personal growth and transformation. We reflected on themes like growth and renewal, gratitude and confession. And these stories reveal the way that God is at work to create new possibilities for new life in your life and in the life of our congregation. So we continue our series today with a story that shows us how God calls each of us to transformational leadership. Now, I realize that when we talk about leadership in the D.C. metropolitan area, our idea has been shaped by government bureaucracy and its love for committees and subcommittees and subcommittees on the subcommittee and its task force on the subcommittee of the subcommittee. Now, it's not just government, of course. Since World War II, our workplaces and volunteer organizations have all been shaped by the world of committees. As I was thinking about this week during my sermon preparation, I stumbled upon a funny article written by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Hal Boyle from 1959. Now, his title says it all. Serving on too many committees has shortened the life of many a man. How about that? Now, Boyle humorously tells the tall tale of one Florida man. It goes like this. The neighborhood association asked me to serve on a committee to improve the beach. And I said yes. Then I joined a country club and a church. And soon they both put me on committees. My wife and I were invited to a lot of parties, and it seemed like at each party a new committee was formed, and I was asked to join. And I said yes. I joined a committee to save the barn owl, a committee to improve the railroad's commuter service. I joined the mayor's committee to bring new industry into town. At the end of the first year, I guess I must have been the best-known man in town, and they were even thinking about running me for mayor. I was serving on 68 committees and being invited to join a new committee at a rate of one a week. I was getting 3 hours of sleep a night and was completely neglecting my own family and my own job. Well, the whole thing collapsed last week. My boss fired me, my wife left me, and my two children were sent to reform school as juvenile delinquents. My neighbors are now organizing a committee to ask me to sell the house and move away as an undesirable member of the community. It's a funny thing. That's the only committee in town I haven't been asked to join. Now, at their best, committees are an efficient way of assembling people. They facilitate debate on important issues and can be effective forums for decision making. But if you've ever spent time on a PTA board or one of those infamous strategic planning teams at work, or let's be honest, many a church committee, then you know that more often than not, our committees can cause more headaches than actual decisions. But perhaps the most devastating effect of our bureaucratic culture in society is the way that it has malformed our idea of leadership. We have been conditioned to think that filling a committee spot is the same thing as identifying and developing leaders. If we're going to experience personal growth and church renewal, then we have to first begin by re-understanding what leadership actually means. Now, if you're familiar with our reading for today, or you're a fan of Charlton Heston, then the first images that come to mind when you think about the life of Moses, or the parting of the Red Sea or the bringing down of the Ten Commandments from the mountain of God. And while we know that one day Moses will be a great leader, in our reading today, he is just a shepherd, going about his daily life, trying to escape the reality of his past mistakes. And he's going about this ordinary workday when he encounters the extraordinary. Suddenly, a bush nearby him bursts into flames. And out of this burning bush, Moses hears the voice of God speaking to him. God says, "The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." In this moment, Moses' entire life changes. God tells him that there is an injustice that needs to be addressed, and Moses is going to be the leader of this revolution for the good of others. But to be this kind of leader, the kind of leader that God is calling Moses to be, he will have to go up against the most powerful ruler of his day. He will have to speak and act with power and authority far beyond that of a mere shepherd. So Moses responds, as many of us might respond, "Oh, not me, God. I'm sorry, you must have called the wrong number. The leader you're looking for isn't here. There's no way I could be the kind of person you're asking me to be." So Moses starts giving God all these reasons for why he can't be a great leader. He's not important enough, and he doesn't know enough. He's not a gifted speaker. He's afraid of failure. He just flat out thinks someone else is better for this position. But what Moses is really saying is that he doesn't believe he's good enough to make a difference. He doesn't believe that he has it in him to be the kind of person God believes he can be. The greatest challenge here is not confronting Pharaoh. It's Moses overcoming the gap between God's confidence in him and his own self-doubt. Have you ever done this before? You felt called to do something in the community. You felt called to lead in some special initiative. And the moment that you had that idea, just not more than a millisecond later, you began to come up with a list for all the reasons why you weren't the person for this job. All the things that disqualified you. I don't have the time. I don't have the experience. I might mess this all up. We should really just find somebody else. It's amazing how much we do to keep ourselves out of leadership. And often we do more to sabotage ourselves than others do. How small we begin to think we are, and we shrink ourselves down rather than thinking about the big ways that God has gifted us, the ways in which we are called to serve. Drew Dudley is a leadership educator who believes in the power of everyone to be a leader. And the first time he realized this was on the last day of college as he was preparing for graduation. That day, a girl came up to him and said, "You know, I remember the first time I met you. She began to tell this story from 4 years earlier. She said, I was standing in line getting ready to register for classes, and I looked around and I realized I just couldn't do it. This just wasn't for me. I knew that I had to quit. Turned to my mom and dad, and I was going to tell them that we just needed to pack up and go home. And right as I was about to say something, you came out of the student union building. You had a big sign promoting students fighting cystic fibrosis. And you had a bucket full of lollipops. Well, as it turns out, Drew Dudley was walking through the building, and he would go up to someone, he would pull a lollipop from his bucket, and he would hand it to them, and then he would tell them about the charity. The young girl said that all of a sudden, Drew Dudley came to her and stopped. And then he reached into his bucket of lollipops, and he turned to the young man standing next to her and said, "You need to give a lollipop to the beautiful girl standing next to you." Young girl said, "I have never seen someone become so embarrassed so fast in my life." The young boy turned bright red. He couldn't even look the girl in the eye. As a matter of fact, the way he handed her the lollipop looked something like this. She felt so bad for this guy that she took the lollipop. And as soon as she took the lollipop, Drew Dudley looked at her parents and said, "Do you see this? Do you see this? First day out of the house, and already she's taking candy from strangers." Now, everyone in a 20-foot radius around them bursts out into laughter. Lost it. She says to him, I know this is cheesy, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, but in that moment when everyone was laughing, I knew I shouldn't quit. I knew I was where I was supposed to be. And I haven't talked to you in the 4 years since that day, but I had to come up and tell you that you've been an incredibly important person in my life, and I'm going to miss you. Good luck. Drew Dudley is flat. Young girl gets 6 feet away, and then she turns around and says, "Oh, by the way, you might like to know, I'm still dating that young man 4 years later." Now, here's the kicker. Drew Dudley has no recollection of this moment. A year later, he was invited to their wedding. Perhaps the most significant impact he has made on someone's life, and he doesn't remember it. Which begs the question, how many of us have made an impact on someone else's life and we don't even know it? How many of us have these lollipop moments? I mean, real leadership, the ability to act and make change, is available to all of us. Leadership in the church begins by recognizing that God has uniquely gifted each of us to make a difference in the lives of others. Our leadership is measured, as Drew Dudley would say, by lollipop moments. How many we create, how many we acknowledge, how many we pay forward, how many we say thank you for. I think that when you look at the life of Moses, pay attention to our story today, there are qualities that God sees in Moses that we can find in ourselves. God doesn't see in Moses characteristics of a Superman, qualities that are beyond our reach. The first quality that Moses demonstrates is pure curiosity. He sees a wonder, a burning bush. Something new is happening around him, and rather than just passing by, he goes in for a closer look. Good leaders are interested not only in what is happening in the world, but why it's happening this way. practice leadership by cultivating our curiosity, engaging with new ideas, to take a look at our neighborhoods and see new things that are happening and wonder why. Go and investigate. And that curiosity leads us to another important quality, one I would call holy discontent. Holy discontent. Being unsatisfied that the world as it is does not resemble the world as it should be. See, Moses, he knows from personal experience the reality the Israelites suffering under Egyptian rule. He's not content to sit on the sidelines when he knows there are people in need. What's happening in the community leads him to respond, to take action. Good leaders look outside their normal routines for opportunities to help others, to make change, and then they take action. The final thing we see in Moses, I believe, is risk-taking. Moses is called not to take a walk in the park. He's called to return to the dangerous arena of Egypt, where he will have to confront the imperial power of the status quo. Now, God is not calling Moses to be a reckless daredevil. All of Moses is dependent upon the faithfulness of God and the ways God has already endowed Moses with everything necessary to fulfill his calling. But Moses must be willing to step outside of his comfort zone, challenge the order of things, and to speak out boldly if he's going to be a leader. Good leaders always willing to try something new, to take risks, to follow God, even when all of the answers aren't ready-made and prepared in advance. Curiosity, holy discontent, risk-taking. These are the characteristics of Moses that make him a great leader. And in our churches, and in our offices, in our volunteer organizations, we should spend less time thinking about how we can fill spots on a committee or task force, and more time thinking about how we can develop people's curiosity. How we can stoke your holy discontent about what's going on so that you will take action, respond to God's calling on your life. Now, we should develop people who are willing to take risks to change lives and transform the community. And I'm proud this morning of the ways in which our church leadership is already being intentional about having conversations about this. Reading books, talking together, dreaming together about how we as a congregation can build a culture of faithful leadership. Because this morning, I'm convinced that to experience true joy and deep meaning in our lives, we have to step out of our comfort zones and answer God's call to everyday leadership. Now, like Moses, we shouldn't let our self-doubt and our petty excuses stop us from pursuing our deepest calling. Today, you are called to be a transformational leader. You may not be immediately called to lead a freedom movement, but you are called to make a difference in the lives of others. Every day is an opportunity to make change. So may you answer the call this morning to be the leader God has uniquely created you to be. And we be a church that cultivates your sense of that call and equips you to fulfill.